What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Glory to Jesus. This morning I was, really concerned about what direction to go. Because most of the time, when I have the opportunity of being a part of a great meeting like this, my greatest concern is, what is my role? Amen. Because I'm not here for nothing. Amen. Glory to God. And my prayer is that as we share, we'll be able to communicate the heart of the Father to you. Amen. The word for the now, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. And also in the evening, I am believing God for great things. Amen. Amen. Our lives will never remain the same. Amen. How many of you have been blessed since you've been coming for Faith Adventure? I'm not talking about just this year. All the other years you've been coming. Amen. Glory to God. And that's why you're here again. Is that not so? Praise the Lord. You know, for the fact that we come and there are people still coming for Faith Adventure, it means that Faith Adventure is really touching lives. Amen. Glory to God. And truly the city is ours. Amen. This morning, I will be going in a different direction, but I believe that the Spirit of God will be speaking to someone. Hallelujah. I don't know in the course of the meeting if the sick have been prayed for. Amen. I know today is the fourth day. The first day was a concert, right? It's evening, yes. Okay. So we've not had a healing school yet. No, not for you told me. Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you're sick here, you have any pain in your body, amen. Glory to God. Stand on your feet. Amen. Let's just clear the way so you'll be healed enough to hear me. Amen. All right. Stand. If you came here sick in your body, just stand. Amen. Just stand. Anybody on the keyboard? Just stand. There are few, meaning the word of God has been taught. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just lift your hands, the rest of you, just worship Jesus. Thank him for his kindness. He's a healing Jesus. He said, for I will restore health unto thee and heal thee of thy wounds. Amen. That's the mind of God towards sickness. That's how he sees it. Anytime sickness shows up around the word of God responds. Amen. Because it's not normal. It's not supposed to be. Glory to God. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. That's your song. All things are possible. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Lord, I receive. Is it possible for you to receive your healing today? Now? Then sing it again. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Lord, I receive. Lord, or your pain or the sickness is not more serious than what I'm doing now. Amen. The moment I told you to stand, even the sickness is afraid. The pain is scared already because it will have to leave. The condition will have to go. Not tomorrow, not the day after, now. Amen. So that's why we're singing the second part. I say, all things are possible. Amen. All things are possible. So it's possible for you to receive now. If I should throw a car key to you now, won't you catch it? Won't you take it? Is it possible? Is it possible for me to give you 500 naira now? Can I give you 500 naira now? You believe I can give you 500 naira? I am worth 500 naira. You believe so? In the same way, you should believe that he's worth healing and wholeness to you. Amen. Glory to God. So he can give you. Actually, he has already given to you. So can you receive it? Can you take it? Can you receive it? Right now, in the name of Jesus, place your hand on any part of your body that is infirmity. If someone you can't touch, put your hand on your head. Right now, in the name of Jesus. In this room, I take authority over every sickness, every disease, every pain. You have no place now in that body. Come out in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. And right now, I speak wholeness and healing to you. I command that part of your body to be healed. I command that pain to return to normalcy. That part of your body that is infirm, that pain, to return to normalcy now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. When I say in the name of Jesus, now you will do what you couldn't do before. In the name of Jesus. And let me say loud, amen. I don't like the way, should we transfer the sickness to you? Let's celebrate with them, amen. Glory to Jesus. Lift your hand and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for healing me, for making me whole, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please be seated. You are well enough to hear me. Amen. Glory to God. Sometimes we just want to get the sickness out of the way so that we can enjoy the meeting. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Thank you, Father. Glory to Jesus. When I talked about khaki, some people were. You know, we've been having testimonies like that of how in the last few weeks, cars have just been dropping everywhere. Just dropping everywhere. You know why? You know, in 1 Kings 18:41, where the prophet said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Amen. And this rain is going to injure somebody, so everybody should run. Amen. They said, I hear the sound, not of droplets of rain, abundance of rain. Never say abundance. Abundance. The sound of abundance of rain. But the prophet didn't stop at hearing it. He stayed in prayer and summoned the abundance. And so we can summon abundance here today. There are believers that have been hearing the sound, but they've not seen it. They've not seen the rain. And when we show up like this, we summon the rain to show up in your life, to show up in your circumstances. And it's showing up in the name of Jesus Christ. And therefore, over everyone here, I summon the favors of heaven. And for those of you believing God for a car before the end of this year, receive in the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. Yes. 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 And it will not come in droplets. All over Christ's family, there will be testimonies of receiving of vehicles. Cars have been received before, but this one will be strange. And there's a car there. And there's another one there. And there are choices to make. Which one do you want? Amen. Sit down, please. Sometimes, while people are waiting for God to move, He has already moved. Amen. I intend to teach this morning, but let's see how it goes. Amen. If I don't teach, everything they will teach. Amen. Glory to God. Now there are many other days to teach. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we'll be having such testimonies, you know, breaking out upon us, doors opening, multiple doors at the same time, one person, several doors opening at the same time. I shared a testimony about a sister that she came and said, everything I'm believing God for just happened at the same time. I know what her problem is. She was not afraid. She said, Pastor, I feel like God is settling me. It's like I'm still going to die or something. She said, I've never had this kind of thing happen anywhere. How can I? At least if two have been answered, maybe one is hanging. He said, nothing is hanging. Amen. And then she was saying, I'm afraid. Nothing will be hanging. When you return, nothing will be hanging. Nothing will be hanging. 1 Timothy 1, I'm supposed to read verse, where I'm supposed to read now? 5. Amen. Let's go there. Amen. Yesterday, I observed that you didn't have a, what was the translation? NLT. Okay. So, I'm forced to stay with the one you have, right? All right. I'm going to read verse 5 and 6. Then I think I'll read it in an amplified version also. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to read my scripture, but there is something for somebody. Amen. There is something for somebody. Listen, the verdict of heaven has already been given concerning your matter. And all the other suggestions and opinions of men will not counsel the verdicts that heaven has given. And it ended in victory. That's the verdict of heaven. And while your heart is still troubled about the conversations going on concerning that matter, don't forget that the verdict of heaven has already been given. That word that was given to you is the verdict of heaven. Regardless of all the opinions of men and how it looks now, it is the verdict of heaven that we stand. Let not your heart be troubled. Say, I receive that. Say, I receive that. My time has gone off. So when it starts, you start from 70. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are we together? Bakasha. Pray in tongues for a minute or two. Lemente kle supra hasha patanda. Ande prediske pleteske. Ropo sopretiske pleteske pratoso. Le mahashka platose le bende grediske pletoso bregadia. La panda kratos ebledie ketos bregadia telide rakatia talida aske pletoso bredi. Le shukle toma rakapando bredoske pletoso lobom bregadia teske. La tapa solobom bregadoske preti. Le mende klesu pretuske pletoso bregadia televoso bregadia. La panda aske pletoso bredie televoso. Le bashatalaba sopredike to prediske. Rapataya talide zete teledeske tozo. Le brando copo sopregadia celebon pregadia tasca. Le pata zende ecclesete predike to bradia keteze. Malataya katoso predie katoso. Zuprahande ekle zinere zenegre sobredoske predoso. La patom le doske pretoso plediske. Rapato pradia katopa lebradoske pledie teske. La panda la basso predie ketese le deske patoso. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Let me read my scripture. I got it has dropped, so it will come out when we're teaching. Let's read together. I want to go. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about a good conscience. Everybody say good conscience. Glory to God. Paul, in this verse, writing to Timothy, is talking about the summary, the reason why he's writing this particular epistle. Amen. Why he's giving these instructions. What does he seek to achieve? Let's read the Amplified version of the same verse. You have the Amplified, right? Thank you. Whereas the object and purpose of our instruction and charge is what? Love. Everybody say love. Which springs from a pure heart and a good, clear conscience and sincere, unfeigned faith. But certain individuals have missed the mark on this very matter and have wandered away into vain arguments and discussions and purposeless talk. Is that clear enough? So, the object and purpose of our instruction. That means if you read this epistle and everything I said, and you miss these three things, amen. You miss love out of a pure heart. You missed a good and a clear conscience. You missed unfeigned faith. Then there was no reason for us to have spoken to you. Amen. So the object and purpose of our instruction, he listed it out. Now, I just want to focus on the good conscience. Let me say good conscience. Hallelujah. You know, we thank God for all of the things that the Spirit of God had taught us. All of us have been trained by the Spirit of God. And you are in a church also that you are taught God's word. But sometimes some folks can focus so much on the principles, on how to get that and how to get this and how to achieve this and how to achieve that, and forget the heart of the principal himself. Amen. Glory to God. Are we together? Because they focus on the principles. And so Paul, if you look through the scriptures, he spoke so much about a good conscience. Hallelujah. In all of his writings, or most of his writings, he talked so much about a good conscience. And he was saying that when people look away from this, he said, these certain individuals, verse 6, have missed the mark on this matter. Not any other matter. On what? This very matter. He said they swerved. They've gone off the track concerning this matter. And then he used the word vain jangling in King James. Here he said, vain arguments, discussions, purposeless talk. You know where some people will try to explain scripture to you? If you have to use so much effort to explain something that is clearly written, that means you are trying to confuse me. Amen. Amen. So it is clearly written. Then you are going back and forth to explain what is clearly written. Then your aim is to confuse me. And I have spoken several times about this. I said the concern in this hour is that most people, you know, because of the internet and social media, you know, there are many teachers of the world. There are many self-appointed teachers of the world. A teacher of the word is not someone that teaches the word. It's someone that is called to teach the word. Amen. Are you listening to me? Yeah. A prophet is not someone that says so. It's someone that is called and anointed to do that. Glory to God. So, you have people talking, sharing, saying many things. And I say those guys have revelation that the Holy Ghost does not have. When they share their revs, the Holy Ghost say, wow. I've never seen that in scripture. The Holy Ghost himself will say, I've never seen that in scripture. As when we have people that share rema, that Christ Jesus doesn't know. Maybe it's in the seal, he's about to open. Are you understanding me? But it has not been revealed yet. Glory to God. Amen. And so the scripture is saying something here about a good conscience. Let's read further. Please go back to the King James Version. You know, Paul, in that just 1 Timothy alone, in the same chapter 1, verse 19, he spoke about the good conscience again. Amen. And brought further light. We'll read from 18 down to 20. So we just see it in context. He says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." But he didn't end the conversation there. He said, "Holding faith." Now, as you're warring the good warfare and taking the city, holding faith. Amen. As you are taking the city, what? Holding faith and a good conscience. We are not taking the city to undo anybody. We are taking the city because it is, we are upholding the values of Christ. It is his heart that we are after. Amen. Are we together? It's because he told us to take the city. And that's why we're taking the city. Amen. So, he said, as you wage this good warfare, don't let go of faith. Holding faith. Everybody say holding faith. Holding faith and what? And a good conscience. Which some, in Paul's day, some, in our day, many, amen, have put away, glory to God, they put away concerning faith. What have they put away? Good conscience. They put away good conscience concerning their faith. Hallelujah. So, to them, it doesn't matter. You know, there are believers today that are learning principles of God's word to undo another believer. Have you heard of that? There are people that come for ministers' conferences. I've been doing ministers' conferences then 7 years in a row, month after month. And I met people. Praise God. I met people. I met general overseers that are not born again. They were led to Christ. I met general overseers that have not received the Holy Spirit. I met general overseers that had PAs and assistant pastors. They are not born again. Some of them were criminals, fraudsters, pimps. And so, as you are teaching blood, they are learning it to do something evil. Amen. So, as we're teaching, you're arming the bad guys. Amen. Glory to God. From time to time in church, I ask again, if you have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, even the music team, I ask them, you know, because, you know, yeah, we ask from time to time. Because you can assume someone is saved. We have someone, a staff, you know, that worked in church. And all that. So my wife one day was, there's some things, you know, so she just called the person aside and now said, talking with him. And he said he has never really received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He's been around. Amen. Yeah, but he has never, so he was led to Christ. Are you understanding me? After maybe 6 years of being around. So there are some people that are lost in church. They're not lost in the world, though. They're in church. They're lost. Amen. Are we together? We had this sister when we were in university. You know, we had this lady. She was a good girl, you know. You know, the people are just good, you know, morally, just good girl. And she was our friend, always around us. So we went to town from school to do some work. We were preparing for a program. On our way, we were so tired. We were hungry. So we started looking for, I asked the brother, I said, "Do you know any house of the brethren around here? We need to rest." He said, "Oh, there's this sister house, not, her parents' house not far from here." So we went, and those were the pre-GSM days. There was no GSM then. So we went and knocked, and she was at home. So we got there and just said, we came to just relax. And she asked the question we're looking for. Do you care for a drink? Say, yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. You know that time when I say, do you care for a drink? Say, if you want to add something to the drink, no problem. Amen. Glory to God. So she came to give us drinks in her parents' house. We're sitting in the living room. As she came to offer us drinks, I didn't hear a voice or anything. It just entered my heart. And I said, have you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? My friend thought I was stupid. This girl has been with us. How can I be asking? But as I asked, she just froze. I said, no. So I said, do you have a Bible in this house? She said, yes. I said, go and get it. She went into one of the rooms, came out with a Bible. I said, showing her scriptures on salvation and led her to Christ. She's a major pastor of Reverend Chris Iclome today. Amen. Some, if I call the name, some of you know the person. Now, the point was, she was not saved. Are you with me? She wasn't saved. She wasn't saved. So, a lot of times we're sitting down and hearing God's word and all that. Paul was speaking. He said, holding faith and a good conscience. If he talked about it several times, he had talked about it in verse 5. He's talking about it again in verse 19. It must be important. Amen. He spoke about it in chapter 3, verse 19. Go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 9, I guess. Where he was saying that, holding the mystery of faith. Thank you. In a pure conscience. Holding the mystery of faith, what? In a pure conscience. So what did he mean by a good conscience? What was he talking about? Please go back to the first Timothy 1:19. So he said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some haven't put away, concerning faith have made shipwreck. That means that if you put away a good conscience, you will make a shipwreck of your faith. What does shipwreck mean? English. What does shipwreck mean? Accidents. Amen. That's what it means. You know, there's some times where, please, when you read your scriptures, don't skip scriptures. Read all of it. It's not some scripture is given for us to us for inspiration. All scripture is given by the inspiration, not some scripture. All scripture is given by the Spirit of God, and all of them are profitable for doctrine. Amen. For correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, if you are reading a scripture with a good conscience, you won't be skipping scriptures. So, no, this one, it's not. It doesn't line up with my theology. You skip it. You're not reading scripture with a good conscience. Amen. It's better to say, I don't understand it. Glory to God. Amen. And so we don't have people that are trying to remove some pages of the scripture. You know, this didn't start today. Even Martin Luther, not King, Martin Luther, the German reformer, priest, he had issues with the book of James. Amen. As a matter of fact, he felt that the book should be removed from the canon of scripture. Glory to God. Because it didn't line up with the just shall live by faith revelation he caught. Amen. The just shall live by faith. When you look at James, James is telling you something like he can't understand it. No way around it. He says, sure, this book is not part of the book. It's not part of it. It's not part of it at all. It cannot be. Because the just must live by faith. Oh, amen. Are you understanding me? And a lot of times as believers, some of us don't open our hearts to receive the totality of God's word. Amen. Because we want to stand and defend a truth. We're not here to defend a truth. Amen. Oh no, we're not here to defend a doctrine. Amen. That's not the purpose of our salvation. Are we together? You embrace all of scripture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I'm a New Testament preacher. I'm a minister of the New Testament. But I explain to people something. I said, when we say we're ministers of the New Testament, I had something I wrote out. And I said that it's important to know that the believer, all of the scripture applies to the believer. Amen. All, Old and New Testament. I said, because there is no New Testament in this. There's no New Testament if the Old Testament validates the New Testament. Glory to God. The reason why the New Testament is true is because the Old Testament said so. Amen. Are we together? The reason why the New Testament is true is because the Old Testament what? Said so. If the Old Testament did not say the New Testament is true, then it's not true.
And I put it this way. I said, it's just like a building. It has a substructure and the superstructure. The substructure is the foundation, the part you don't see, the hidden part. But it's what holds up this superstructure. Is that not so? The Old Testament is the substructure. Amen. And the New Testament is the superstructure. We don't live in the substructure. We live in the superstructure. Amen. But we know that it's based on the foundation. Am I communicating? So understand that. So don't be reading to Leviticus and be behaving like it's not, you know, it's scripture. Numbers is scripture. Amen. Are we together? Deuteronomy is scripture. Lamentations is scripture. Amen. Are we together? All right, so just like Martin Luther, where he said that book. And so we've had issues in our own time where some folks believe that some portions of the scripture are not supposed to because it doesn't line up with the revelation that they are sharing. Yeah, I don't understand. I must not understand everything. I'm teaching the one I understand. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, I'm teaching what I understand. And I will not finish teaching what I understand. Jesus will show. Amen. Are you understanding? What I understand already is plenty. Glory to God. Am I communicating? Sorry. So understand that. So a lot of times folks are trying to get to that place where they are looking for only scriptures that support certain things that they teach. That's not a good conscience. Amen. They're not holding the faith in a good conscience. And what it breeds is something that you cannot even control at the end of the day. Amen. Are we together? Yeah, true. I was talking about the 1 John story where they said 1 John chapter 1 is not written to, is written to the unbeliever. And then from chapter 2 is written to the believer. There is no portion of the New Testament that is written to any unbeliever. I said there is no portion. It was written to the believer. No portion was written. Even the greeting was not to the unbeliever. Amen. Are you saying, dearly beloved brethren, our greetings to you is to the believer. So 1 John chapter 1 from verse 1 was to the believer. Glory to God. Chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, second epistle, third epistle, it was to the believer. And the reason is simple. Because of 1 John 1:9, nobody said, no, 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. No, it cannot be us. It is us. Amen. Glory to God. Now, it was a letter. Hallelujah. It was a letter. We are the ones that came to a generation where it was divided in chapters and verses. It was a letter written. Praise God. One letter written. The flow from chapter 1 into chapter 2. Glory to God. Same thing. Hallelujah. Now, let me even just show you something. In 1 John 2, look at verse 1 and 2. Let me just show, since we're there. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Why is he telling you not to sin? Because you might decide to. Amen. Amen. Hey, that you sin not. And if any man sin, not when, if. If, everybody say if. Not when. If I say when you drink water, when you drink water today, because you are supposed to drink water. I say, well, when you drink poison. No, you're not supposed to. If you drink poison, go to the hospital. Amen. 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 If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous. Now hold on. You say, who is he writing to? Of course, he already said, my little children. Verse 2, he now says, and he is, he's talking about Jesus Christ, the propitiation for our sins, we believers, and not for us only, but for the sins of the whole world. Are you getting it? So it means that all of what he was saying was for us. Amen. Am I communicating? The popular argument was that if, well, the fight was, must I confess my sin if I fall into sin? That was the argument, right? And then because of that, he said, no, we're not supposed to confess our sins. If confessing your sins is supposed to be all, is supposed to be a doctrine of the New Testament, it's not only John that would have said so. Are you understanding me? All other apostles would have said so. They said so, sir. Amen. Am I communicating? Yeah. He said, they would have all said so. But let me just first knock that to explain something to you. There are teachings that only Paul taught. Amen. The communion, for example. No other person taught. Did Peter teach us communion? Did John himself teach us communion? Who taught communion? It was Paul. Didn't we embrace it? He was the only one that taught it. The doctrine of adoption. No other person taught it. Amen. Are you listening? We can go on and on. So, that's not the basis. Am I communicating? Then the other one is that, you know, if we confess our sins. Now, of course, the word confess had helped us. Because it said homologio or homologia. None of us are Greek. Anyhow, we'll pronounce it. Take it like that. So now, it simply means saying the same thing in consent. All right? Okay? So we're saying the same thing in consent. But listen. The idea is that he's teaching the doctrine of repentance. There's a doctrine of repentance. Amen. Are you listening to me? There's a New Testament doctrine of repentance. That's what he was teaching. And Paul taught repentance. Amen. Peter taught repentance. All of them talked about repentance. Peter believed in repentance because when he met Simon the sorcerer, amen, in Acts chapter 8, remember, in Acts 8, when... Listen, Simon was a brother like you. Amen. He received Jesus Christ. It's just that his mind had not been renewed. Amen. Because the Bible says, and Simon also believed and was baptized. He believed. So he got born again. But now when he saw the manifestations of the Spirit, he said, wow. He just said, Rev, come, please come. He took Rev to the office, said, Rev, I'm going to give you £1 million. I know you need it for Miracle and Healing London. I need that thing that you did to that person. Are you understanding me? That's what he was. I said, what was wrong with this guy? You understand me? And he thought he was going to tell him something serious. But that's what he did. He called him aside. And he was seated with the ministers. Because, you know, he was a respected, a former bad guy now in Christ. You know, there's a way. You understand that? So he was. Put up Acts 8:23. Amen. Paul made a statement. What's his name now? Simon. Peter made a statement. Start from 22. Let's just read down. Thank you. Okay, 21. Go up so you see. Now, see the statement he made. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Why? Your heart is not right in the sight of God. Then verse 22, he now told him. He said, repent. Everybody say, repent. He's talking to a believer. Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God. That means, how will he repent? He will repent by praying. Amen. And pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. He was talking to a believer. That means he believed in the doctrine of repentance. Am I communicating? He believed in the doctrine of repentance. You are quiet. I've not started. So, he believed, amen, in the doctrine of repentance. That's why he told him that. Paul himself wrote... You know, Paul had instructed the Corinthian church to address that matter of that guy that was with his father's wife. Amen. He said, even among unbelievers, they don't go that far. Are you understanding me? He now said, and you've not done anything about it. He addressed it. And the church did it. Amen. Do you know what Paul was saying? He said, turn that man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit might be saved. That means the pastor had that right. To call him out and say, I deliver you to Satan. Amen. We need to do that, sir. Amen. That's the authority of the church. Amen. And then, they did it. Because in the second book, or second epistle to the Corinthians, he said, hey. So that the guy will not be taken with overmuch sorrow. Amen. Forgive him. If you forgive him, I've also forgiven him. Amen. Are we together? So he wrote to them. That means they did it. But now, Paul also said something. Look at 2 Corinthians 12. 21 will suffice. He says something there. 2 Corinthians 12, 21. Thank you. He said, unless, he's talking to the Corinthian church, believers, when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not what? Repented. Amen. He's not talking to the church. They have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. He said, I will cry, amen, and bewail them. Amen. So Paul believed in the doctrine of repentance. Glory to God.
Am I communicating? Now, this is very important for you to recognize that. Now, most of the time, you say, so now the teaching goes this way. They say, okay, no. Yeah, okay, repentance. But repentance does not mean reward. Repentance means metanoia. Metanoia is a Greek word, yes. What does metanoia mean? When you speak to a Greek-speaking person, what does metanoia mean? What it means to repent is just a change of mind. No, it cannot just be a change of mind. And Amplified Version helped us to explain what repentance is. So we'll look at what repentance really is. Amen. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, Amplified Version. Amen. What Amplified just does is unlock shades of meaning. Amen. So you see it. In Matthew 3, verse 2, this is the King James Version. Amplified says, let's read together. I want to go. And saying, repent. Now, in parenthesis, he's going to explain what repent means. Four descriptions of repentance. Amen. Number one, thinking differently. That means that thing, you are now seeing it differently. You are thinking differently about it. Amen. Glory to God. You are now thinking differently. You're no more thinking that you should steal. Amen. You are now thinking differently. Number two, you are changing your mind. Amen. Then number three, there's remorse. Regretting your sins. I'm not supposed to do that. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. The nature of God is at work in me. I shouldn't be doing that. Amen. Are you understanding me? Now, regretting your sins is not condemnation, sir. Amen. But there is remorse. Amen. Glory to God. And then number four, changing your conduct. If repentance didn't end at the change of conduct, it's not complete. Amen. It's not complete. Changing your conduct. So Paul believed in the doctrine of repentance. I didn't intend to say this. It just came out. All right. I'm talking about good conscience. Amen. All right. So Paul believed in the doctrine of repentance. And the apostles believed in the doctrine of repentance. And that prayer in 1 John 1:9, he was showing you how to appropriate your forgiveness. Amen. Glory to God. That's what it was. How to appropriate. The same way healing has been made available to us, but you confess your healing. Amen. Is that not? You confess your healing. I believe I receive my healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Is that what you do? Yeah. James 5. Let me just show you one more scripture. 16. Should I start from 14? James 5. Thank you. Where does it start by saying, is any sick among you? Above, thank you. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. 14, keep going down. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Then look at verse 15. That's where I'm going to. And the prayer of faith is a prayer. It will do two things. It will save the sick and deliver him up. And if he, the believer, had committed sins, what will happen? They shall be forgiven. Amen. It's the language that was said, they shall be forgiven. It's in the scripture. Leave it like that. Amen. Type in and say, leave it like that. Leave it like that. Leave it like that. Leave it like that. Amen. They shall be forgiven. Glory to God. Because likely it's even the sin that might have caused the sickness. Amen. So you pray with them. The elder prays for them. They shall be forgiven. If they had committed sins, they shall be forgiven. If you look at me like that, I'll show you another scripture. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You know, even John wrote, he said, if a brother be taken up with a sin, pray for him. Amen. They say, but I'm saying that you should not pray for him if it's a sin unto death. Amen. So why are you praying for him? So that he will be forgiven. Simple. Amen. So pray your prayer. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. But you see, there's a difference between being sin conscious. Are we together? And that's what the message of the finished work of Christ addresses. That you shouldn't live under condemnation and be guilt driven and live with sin consciousness every day. What have I done now? I don't know if I've done. There's no how not have sinned against the Lord. You know, that's what he should address. But you know, when the Bible talks about grace, it's important to recognize something. When the scripture in Titus 2 said, it said the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared unto all men. Amen. Then the next verse now says, teaching us. That means that if grace hasn't taught you, it hasn't completed its work. Amen. Are we together?
It might have appeared to you. You are rejoicing. Woo, grace! But it will teach you to deny ungodliness. Amen. That means the aim of grace is to teach you at the end of the day. Glory to God. See, thank God for the liberties of grace. But we need to embrace the empowerments of grace. The empowerment of grace means that because you have received the life of God in you, sin has no power over you anymore. Amen. Glory to God. Not just that your sins are forgiven. No, sin cannot dominate you anymore. You are no more under sin because you are now under grace. Amen. And sin shall not have what? Dominion. You don't say, I don't know, I just did it. You know, I just always did it. No, sin shall not have dominion over you. That's the empowerment of grace. Glory to God. Did you get that? All right? So, and scripture says several things about the grace of God. There are three, when it comes to errors that could come out of grace, there are three possibilities stated in the epistles. Amen. The first one is in Galatians 3:21. Verse 20 of Galatians says, Christ, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave himself. From verse 21, I says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. That means a believer can frustrate the grace of God. Amen. So the grace of God can be frustrated. Amen. There's possibilities. I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Amen. So I do not frustrate the grace of God. To frustrate means that you are not allowing grace, amen, to have its effects in your life. Amen. So you are frustrating. You know what it means to frustrate something? Hello? For the one that does not understand the message of grace, he's likely frustrating the grace of God. Amen. He doesn't understand it. So he's frustrating because every day he's under condemnation. But now, the next thing that the Bible says, that the possibility of error in grace, is what 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 said. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you therefore, that you receive not the grace of God in vain. That's something different. Now, it is for the one that, woo, grace message, woo, finished works of Christ. What are you doing after that? To receive not the grace of God in vain means you are not maximizing. Amen. You are not my. You believe your sins are forgiven, but you should also believe that you're not just your sins are forgiven. You have now someone that doesn't sin again. Amen. Maximize it. Am I communicating? So you are not receiving the grace of God in vain. That's the second possibility of error, where you've received grace of God but you're not putting it to use. God loves me. So what next? What are you going to do with love? Amen. Amen. I think as a song is a secular song. Reverend Teddy will not know it. Now that we have found love, what are we going to do with it? You know that song? It's a secular song. Don't make me sing it. So, now you have found God's love. What will you do with it? Amen. So you are maximizing the grace of God. The third possibility of error in grace is what, let's go to Titus. Sorry, Jude, not Judges, thank you. Thank you. Sixth, the third possibility of error. For there are certain men crept in our ways who were before all ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, what are they doing? Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What does it mean by lasciviousness? Is lawlessness. They've interpreted grace as lawlessness. Anyhow living limited. Anyhow living incorporated. Amen. Amen. This is the third possibility. They are turning the grace of God to lasciviousness. They are the ones that make people to talk down on this glorious message. In the New Testament, if you carefully study, in this same Jude, since we're here, Jude was writing to believers. And then he says, that should be verse 11. He said, woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain. And after the error of Balaam, and the gainsaying of call. All right? Then he was saying, don't do the same.
Amen.
That means that these errors are possible in the New Testament. Hallelujah. All right? The way of Cain. Ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the rebellion, actually, of Korah. Hallelujah. In all of this, what he was warning against is irreverence.
Amen.
And so, when someone says he has received the message of grace and he produces irreverence, you've not understood the message. You know, Cain. Cain, apart from the fact that when he brought the sacrifice, there was no blood in it, apart from that. Now, when he killed his brother, God spoke to him. Where's your brother? Giving him room for remorse, for repentance. So anything that fights repentance is not of God. Giving him room for coming. Where's your brother, Abel? He was, oh God, sorry, I killed him. He said, am I my brother's keeper? I believe that thing. He was addressing God like that. Amen. That's what the Bible called the way of Cain. Hallelujah. Cain, now if you read in the third chapter of Genesis, you'll find that when Adam and Eve sinned, or Adam sinned, the Bible said the last verses of chapter 3 says, God drove them out of the garden. God said, drove them out means he sent them up, he sent them packing. Out, go. And then he puts a cherubim, all right? So they couldn't come back in. You get that? In the case of Cain, the Bible didn't say God sent him out. He went out from the presence of the Lord. Put up Genesis 4:16. That means that God didn't send him out. Why they are still having conversation? And so what are we going to do? He said, it's not to send me out. You send my parents. I'm going. Amen. That's the way of Cain. The pastor said, I'm leaving the church. It's the way of Cain. Amen. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. God didn't send him out. He went out and dwelt in the land of Nod. That's the way of Cain. You know that kind of thing like, I don't care. I'm not afraid of anything. You know when people say, I'm not afraid of pastor. I'm not afraid of anything. It's the way of Cain. Amen. Amen. You don't hold sacred things with that sense of worth, of value in your heart. Amen. You know, put that saying like, highest is highest. Highest you will do is highest. You know, put that talk like that. That's the way of Cain. That's how Cain was. So he didn't wait for God to tell him, go. Maybe God even wanted to drive him out. Amen. Are we together? They were still talking. He went out from the presence of the Lord. And he wasn't telling God, see, this punishment you are giving me is too much for me. No remorse. No repentance. Amen. No change of conduct. Amen. Amen. Time will fail me to talk about the error of Balaam and the rebellion of Korah. But talked about that irreverence. Hallelujah. All right? So, as I'm talking, I've just seen that we need more than time to go. But I'll stop wherever my time stops. Is this helping anybody? Hallelujah. Listen, you know, we're not just doing church. Jesus is coming again. Amen. You know, I don't know how to bring that consciousness, all right, back to some believers to understand that, hey, there's something here. Hallelujah. All right? Don't make a shipwreck of your faith. Holding faith and a good conscience. Maybe a lot of times we have believers today that have embraced the message of the New Testament, but they are not being taught about the coming of the Lord, about Jesus. They're not being taught about maybe eschatology. So they're still living always for now. Always for now. They're just thinking about now. The era of Balaam is living for now. Living for now. So he's willing to mix truths with heresy or error to achieve his purpose. His aim is just to achieve the thing now. He doesn't care about the eternal plan of God. Amen. Amen. And so you have believers like that. results and immediate gain is what drives them.
Amen.
Not the purpose and plan of God. Listen to me. Result and immediate gain is what moves them. So sometimes Balaam will use the right method. Sometimes he will consult the body. He must produce results. He must produce results. As long as you have summoned him, he must produce results. Amen. That's the era of Balaam. Glory to God. And you have believers today also that are driven to achieve, to achieve, to achieve. They have chiefers, achievers. Amen. Amen. And they have to cheat to be achievers. Amen. Glory to God. They have to lie to be achievers. If you want to travel to the UK or the US and you have to lose your salvation and reach there, what are you going for? By the time you get there, you're already, sorry to say, you arrive there, you're already a Buddhist. You were, when you are processing, when you started processing, you were a new creation in Christ. By the time you finish, you're a Buddhist. What is the aim of going there, traveling? Amen. Amen. Am I communicating what I'm saying? That's the error of Balaam. Praise God. Say, I hear. Say, I receive. So, when the Bible talks about that good conscience, it said, when you turn away from a good conscience, you make a shipwreck of your faith. And it's important to recognize that there's something specific Paul meant when he was talking about a good conscience. And it was important to him. I read about three scriptures only in Timothy where he said, holding the mystery, he was talking about the deacons. He said, these people, one of the ways to be sure and to give them and bring them into that office, that they are holding the mystery of the faith. In this time, he said, in a pure conscience. If you study the scriptures carefully, for sake of time, I'll just wrap up here. He said, the scripture is specific. When the Bible talks about conscience, it's talking about a compartment of your heart. Amen. 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 Now, theologians make us believe, and the scriptures say so, that there are majorly four compartments of the heart. The thought compartment of the heart, your will, your emotions, and your conscience. Amen. You are looking at me, so let me just give you the scripture, all right? All right, so Hebrews 4:12, we just look at one, and Romans 2:15, look at the second one. I didn't intend to give the scriptures, but just look at here. This is a popular scripture, that's why I'm using it. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to divine son of soul and spirit and of joints and of marrows. Then the last part says, and is a discerner of what? The thoughts and the intents, the will, the choices of the heart. Amen. It's telling you here, it listed two compartments, the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Romans 2:15, it'll show you something. In Romans 2:15, it says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, I would say their conscience, also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. So here he's listed the conscience and your thoughts. Amen. So he's putting together of all the scriptures that we came up with, God's will, God's emotions, your will, emotions, thoughts, and conscience. All right? Okay. Now, if you want more, come for Faith to Faith Bible Academy. Amen. All right. So the point here is this. Your conscience. And I believe that in our teaching of God's word, that part has been neglected a great deal. All right? Because what happens to you when you receive Jesus? The Bible says that the blood of Christ, through his eternal spirit, has purged your conscience from dead works to serve a living God. Hebrews 9:14. So it means that when you got born again, the blood, Jesus, his blood, purged your conscience from dead works. Hallelujah. Are we together? It's simply lifeless observances, rituals of religion. Amen. Now you are serving, that Bible says you're worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Glory to God. So your conscience is purged from dead works. If you read Hebrews 10, give me verse 2. Put up verse 2, let me just see. Thank you. For then, he was talking about the several offerings that they carry out. He said, for then, would they not have ceased to be offered because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. So your conscience is purged of dead works and sin. Amen. Hold that. That's at salvation. Now, but the Bible also teaches that the believer can have a weak conscience.
Amen.
And also the believer can have a defiled conscience. 1 Corinthians 8, put up verse 7. Amen. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 7. Howbeit, there's not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of idol unto this are it as a thing offered unto idol, and their conscience being weak is what defiled. Amen. The people he's talking about, they are believers there. Their conscience is weak because of lack of knowledge. The knowledge of God's word. Amen. So their conscience is weak. Their conscience is weak. They easily get condemned. Amen. All right? So through the knowledge of God's word, the conscience is strengthened. But there's something about your conscience also being defiled. Hallelujah. Okay? So when Paul was talking about a good conscience, you could do this on your own. In Acts 23, verse 1 and Acts 24, 16, he told us what it meant to have a good conscience. It's a conscience void of offense toward God and void of offense toward man.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard. And we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.